We want to welcome everyone that's with us this morning and those that are on live stream. And I might even have Gary Stairs from Ontario and my buddy Ray from Bible School on from Ontario. So it's kind of one of those little advantages of having live stream. And we're certainly very fortunate. Many people can't even gather like this in Ontario and many other places in the country. So we need to be grateful and thankful that we can function as best we can here. 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to look at the first 11 verses this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, and let's take a moment and read from verses 1 through 11. 1 through 11. Reading from the New King James Version. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, if you're someone who tends to scratch a little bit in your Bible, some will do that. There's a word here in verse 6 and then in verse 11 that is very, very significant. And we're going to talk about it as we go through and particularly at the conclusion. It is the word there in verse 6, but it's the same God who works. Okay, W-O-R-K-S. All right, just make a note of that. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another differing kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But the one and the self, the same Spirit, note this word, works, that little word there, W-O-R-K-S, but one and the self, same Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Lord will add a blessing to his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us thy word. Thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you for that you have given us your Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that you would minister to us here this morning, that we would be profited, we would be helped, we would be encouraged. And Father, if there's anyone in our midst this morning that does not know about the gift of God as eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Father, may this be the seed fall upon their hearts, and may they desire to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. You know, these book studies feel kind of like a relay race. I was kind of thinking about it, you know, and there's one preacher, and he preaches one or two messages, and then he passes the baton on, right? And you kind of feel that responsibility as you go through your section to try to pass that baton on the best you can. And so we've gone through a number of different things in the book of 1 Corinthians up to this point. I think Swindoll gives us a neat little overall outline of the book of Corinthians in three very simple words. And first of all, chapters 1 through 4, it talks about divisions. Divisions amongst God's people. And what's interesting there in chapter 1, it relates back here to chapter 12, where it talks about, you guys don't lack in any gift. You've got all the gifts. You display all the gifts. You're a gifted group of people, Corinthians. But then by the time you get to chapter 4, it's like, but you're carnal. And see, one of the areas that people get mixed up in the use of spiritual gifts is they automatically associate the use of spiritual gifts with spirituality. And that is not always the case. A church can be using and exercising their spiritual gifts, but it does not guarantee that they are using those through the work and power of the Holy Spirit. And this was part of the problem that the Corinthians were having. Then we came into verses chapter 5 and 6, so divisions in 1 through 4. Chapters 5 and 6 were disorders, right? There was suing. There was sexual, the beginning of the sexual sin section on that. And idolatry, and just disorders within the body of Christ. And then these last chapters, 7 through 16, Swindoll calls them difficulties. Difficulties, and we've been going through some difficulties, and marriage, and the Lord's Supper, and the head covering, and other different topics that we've been discussing and talking about. And the theme of this book is simply this: Christian conduct in the local church. Christian conduct in the local church. So we want to look at this morning, we want to look at first a little introduction to spiritual gifts in the first three verses. Then we're going to look at the unity and variety of the gifts in the body. Then we're going to briefly describe some of the gifts. We only have 30 minutes here, so we're not going to get too deep into any of that. And then we're going to look at the ministry of the Spirit of God in our lives in these areas. Now, a lot of times we leave practical stuff to the end. And there's no need for that. There's no reason for that. So I wanted to share a little word of testimony. This area really touches my heart. I love the topic of spiritual gifts because I think it has done such a transformation in my life. If you are going to have direction and purpose and know God's will in your life, then one of the crucial aspects for that is to know what God's gift or gifts to you are. He's not trying to hide it. He has given each and every believer, follower of Jesus Christ, a or more multiple spiritual gifts. Do you know this morning your spiritual gift or gifts? And if you don't know this morning, then you should begin to pursue what that spiritual gift or gift is. See, God wants the body of Christ mobilized, okay? And if you're going to mobilize the body of Christ, they need to know what their gifts are. Paul says here in verse 1, he starts off and he says, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed about this subject. I want you to understand about spiritual gifts. So I'm going to tell you a little story to start off, a little word of testimony about myself. So I grew up here. My mother back there is the first pianist in 1950 somewhere back there, okay? And so I grew up in the assembly. I remember going to young people's many a time, sitting in that fireside room. And if anybody remembers me back then, there was not a peep out of me, okay? I never offered to pray. No one ever asked me to speak or anything. And I was very, very content just to come and be really quiet and sit around that circle while everybody else did different things. I was baptized. I was in fellowship by the time I was 16. I was an avid Bible student when I was quite young. I remember a time I was 15, I think I had 300 or 400 or 500 books, and most of them were commentaries. It's kind of a little unusual for a 15-year-old. But you know, that was just God working in my life and the interests that I had. So I would read and I would study, but I was simply a non-participant up to that point. So I remember I felt the urge to go to Bible school, so off I went to Corth Lakes Bible School for a year. And it was like the greatest fear I had, and most people have, is a public speaking, right? That is the greatest knee shaker, knee knocker you can have, is to stand up in front of a group of people. And so we got into our class, and there's 45 there. You know, it was actually just like down in the basement of the chapel here. And the first week, the administrator comes over and just kind of stands in front of you and says, well, Dwight, I believe you're on next week on Wednesday for devotions. You didn't have a choice, right? I mean, it's just like, you're on. So, all right. I just thought, maybe, Lord, you could give me a couple of weeks, you know. But no, that wasn't the case. So anyway, I can remember just absolutely being petrified. I remember the passage was very applicable, Psalm 25, 15, my eyes are ever on the Lord, as I stood there in great fear and trembling. And I have no idea what I said to this day, except that one verse. And I can remember afterwards, several students came up to me. I was one of the youngest students in there. I was only 17 when I graduated. And so there was a very mature year. There was a lot of 20, 22, 25-year-olds there in the class. I remember people came up to me and said, you know, the Lord really spoke to me today through you. And I had never experienced that in my life, in all honesty. I had never known anything, someone to ever say that to me in my life. I had grown up in the body of Christ, but I was a non-participant, right? And so that was that. Then I get asked to speak a few more times at a few other things, and we were in the choir and different things. Everybody had to sing. Greg was probably a better singer than me, but we all had to sing. And you know, came back here at Christmas time, and I think they asked me to speak at a New Year's Eve thing. And you know what? I was a totally different person. And people were saying, well, who is this guy? Where's that guy that we knew 4 months ago that was really quiet and shy and didn't say anything? Well, the Lord was working in my life. He was helping me discover one of the gifts that he had given me. Did I choose that gift? Did I seek that gift? Did I want that gift? Not at all. But that gift gave me purpose. Knowing what that gift was gave me purpose in the body of Christ. And it focused me to go down a certain direction in life. And it is so crucial, folks, that you know what your gift is. God does not want you to be a non-participant in the body of Christ. I came back from Kawartha Lakes. I didn't even make it back in here. Sven got hold of me, and off to Hunter River we went, and there was a meeting in Hunter River of 15, 20 people, and it was just like, poof, there we go. And I was preaching, and I was administrating, and I was leading, and it was an amazing, challenging, stretching 7 years of life that I would never, ever regret. And the Lord, if you really are serious about serving God, then he will show you what your gift is. He will show you. It says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're not always reminded that our spiritual gift is a stewardship, isn't it? We're going to stand before God and we're going to give account of the gift that he has given to you through the work of the Holy Spirit. You're going to stand before him and give an account as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. So we come to verse 1. Richard Strauss on spiritual gold has a wonderful, wonderful message on this. And he refers to the spiritual gifts here. The title he calls it is God's Team. What a great title. God's Team. You know, it's like an orchestra, isn't it? And you've got the different instruments in the orchestra. Well, if you've got one of those instruments that's playing out of sync, you sit there and think, my goodness, this orchestra, it really does not sound right at all. That tuba player is way too loud, or that clarinet player is not playing her part at all. But see, this is God's team. And when God's team exercises their spiritual gifts in unity, then the body of Christ is what? Built up, isn't it? It's encouraged. It's instructed. And so we come here. It's also like a baseball team. You can't put the pitcher to be a catcher. right? Because he's not any good as a catcher. Oh, he'd catch a few balls, sure. But he's way better as a pitcher. And you want the outfielder to be an outfielder, not a pitcher, right? So it's crucial and key that people discover their gifts. So here we come to this section in verse 1. It says, now concerning spirituals. Now, in your Bibles, you'll notice a little squiggle there on gifts, because that word there is actually not there until verse 4, okay? And so what the apostle here is talking about, he says, now concerning spirituals, spiritual matters, okay? These spiritual matters are in relation, are going to set up this whole next section of chapters 12, 13, and 14, okay? Leonard just finished a block ending in chapter 11, and now there's another whole section here starts from chapters 12, 13, and 14 about the topic of spirituals. In that topic, we will learn about spiritual gifts, but we're also going to learn about the graces of the Christian life. Like chapter 13, it's so interesting that chapter 13 is put right in between this section on chapter 12 on spiritual gifts and then the difficult section on chapter 14 on tongues and prophesying and how gifts should be administered in the church. And what's smack dab in the middle? What is the emphasis has got to be when we use our spiritual gifts is we must do it in love, right? That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about, the great love chapter. Well, that is not a separate chapter that we just pull out to talk about marriage or relationships. That is stuck in between there to help us effectively use our spiritual gifts for the glory of God. So we come here and it says, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. He said, I want you to understand the significance of these spiritual matters. These are realms of the Spirit, the invisible sphere in which the Holy Spirit works. Now, in verse 2, he reminds them of their past. You were Gentiles. You were carried away to dumb idols. And here's what I like one author here said on this. He says, the greatest miracle of all, the greatest work of the Spirit of all was their conversion. The blind followers of dumb idols should be transformed into intelligent believers in the living God was the greatest work of the Spirit of God. See, the only way that you can have a spiritual gift is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? That's the only way you can have a spiritual gift. You've got to know the greatest gift giver of all time, the Lord Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, the invitation is to remember that you are dead in trespasses and sin, and there is this incredible offer of salvation. And you can enter into this incredible relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here that you were carried away by these dumb idols, carried away by speechless idols. Oh, the world is full of speechless idols, isn't it? And this word here, carried away, means they were carried like prisoners to a prison and eventually to death. So now in verse 3, it says here, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the test of spiritual gifts is the recognition that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says in 1 John 4 and verse 2 in the ESV, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Jesus Christ is Lord. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ must be recognized when it comes to this matter. And what's interesting is in John 16, we won't turn there, there's some great verses there on the Holy Spirit. And we have a tremendous emphasis today, and we want to be kind of careful. We don't want to be critical of other groups. There's no need of that this morning in the body of these gifts. But there is a testing point here in John 16 where it talks about the Holy Spirit, and it says, He will glorify Christ, He will speak of me. So the Holy Spirit of God always points to Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the acid test. All right? So now we come down into verse 4 through 6. There are diversities of gifts. Now note here the Trinity. This is a neat little thing. Diversity of gifts, the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, the same Lord. Diversities of activities, but the same God. Amazing. The Trinity, right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, working in our lives. So we've come first to varieties of gifts. Now we know there's approximately, if you look through Romans 12, Ephesians, 1 Peter 4, and here, there's approximately 20 gifts, right? Could be 18, could be 22. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's somewhere in that approximate range. But there is amazing diversity in the body of Christ. You take this meeting here. You take the gift of teaching, for example. Well, right now, there could be teaching going on down in the Sunday school, in the Sunday school classes. There's men and women teaching the Word of God to children. There's teaching happening at youth group. There's teaching happening at ladies' Bible study. There's teaching happening here this morning. There's teaching happening here this evening. It can be in a small group. It can be in a large group. It can be one person to one person over a coffee, right? It can be male. It can be female. It is an incredibly diverse group, diverse gift. Just that one gift. So you could be teaching up here, youth group, ladies' coffee hour, many, many different places. There is variety of gifts. Then there is variety of service. Variety here of service means variety of ministry. The word ministry there comes from the word deacon. Well, what does the word deacon mean? The word deacon means to serve, right? So there's varieties of service. It really refers to opportunities to serve. Sometimes we're waiting for the leadership in the local church to come to us to serve. And that is often how it works, and that's fine. But you know what I found over the years? This is just opportunities to serve us in front of us all the time. If your heart is towards serving the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to serve him, it just doesn't happen inside these walls, does it? There's ministry outside of these walls, whether it's evangelism or helping a neighbor or making a meal and taking it over to a brother or sister who's in need. There's just a wealth, a variety of ministries on which we can serve. Ministries refers to the sphere in which the particular gift is to be exercised. It can be in the local church, the local community, or it can be, this box that just came out of here. Well, there was a whole lot of people came together. There was material sent in. There was people cut stuff up. There was people put stuff in boxes, and it was shipped to another country, right? Varieties of service that we can be engaged in. Now, sometimes we just don't know what to do. And you know what? That's okay. What you need to do is just go find someone in the local body to say, I would like to do something here. I would like to be part of serving God here. It may be honestly, you just don't know where to turn and what to do. That's okay. Ask somebody. And if they don't help you, ask somebody else. Okay? But you know what? God will open the doors. I remember a stretch of time where I didn't preach for probably 10 years. It was a rough stretch of health issues in our family. But you know what? God continually sent people out to my business to disciple and to care for and to talk to and to teach them God's word. So had I given up my teaching gift? Well, not really. Just because I wasn't up here for 10 years, just because I was dedicating a period of time in my life to a crisis in my family, but God was just bringing people right to where I was to use the gift he had given me. See, he opens the doors, right? Like we're reading in Revelation that what? He opens doors and no man can shut them. So God opens the doors. There's lots and lots of ministries and opportunities. There's then varieties of activities. This is the third one. Now this refers to results. So you take someone like Billy Graham. He got up and preached to massive crowds of people, right? And thousands of people would respond some nights, hundreds of people other nights. And over the course of time, millions of people responded to this man. This was a variety of activity. This is referring to the fruit that he enjoyed. But then there'll be other missionaries or men and women of God who for years have been just as faithful as Billy Graham and will get just as much of reward as Billy Graham. But maybe only seen a couple of people come to know the Lord, right? There's variety of results. And it reminds us of that verse where Paul says, one person watered, one person planted, one person watered, but what? God gave the increase, right? We have to be faithful in doing what he wants us to do, and he will give the increase according to his work. Do not, when it comes to spiritual gifts, get into the habit of saying, oh, I wish I was like so-and-so. I wish I had their gift. Because God sovereignly chose you to have the gift that you have. And that makes you special right there, doesn't it? God has sovereignly chosen that. And the end of verse 6, it says, it is the same God who works all in all. It is the same God, the ESV says, who empowers. That word there, work, is the word empower. It is the word energy, okay? And we're going to touch on that a little bit later. This is God's team. So here's the thing you got to remember. Man, we look and say, oh, I wish I was a Gretzky. Oh, I wish I was like, you know, Tiger Woods. Wow, what a star, right? Or a Michael Jordan. Man, these guys are so incredible. Well, guess what? The person who washes the jerseys for those guys is just as important on God's team. Oh yeah, there seem to be some MVPs maybe it looks like on God's team, you know, some most valuable players that just look to be so, so crucial and important. But guess what? Every part of the body has to function. And some is more visible, some is more invisible. And every part has to function. Like you look at the baseball, and if there wasn't somebody that made those baseballs, they wouldn't be playing baseball. Well, that doesn't seem like a very important task in some factory making up a baseball, does it? But if they didn't have those baseballs, they'd be out there trying to hit a basketball with a baseball bat. Well, that wouldn't work very good. That wouldn't work at all, would it? Somebody had to make those baseballs. Somebody had to take those stinky, dirty jerseys after the game and put them in the wash, didn't they? In order for those guys to walk out on that field, man, on TV and look like they were stars. Somebody's got to hook up all the lighting and sell the tickets in order for that baseball game to happen, doesn't it? And you know what? In the body of Christ, it's the same thing, isn't it? And we'll learn more about that next week. It is the members that seem to be weaker, God puts the most honor upon them. So don't always wish for somebody else's gift. Now remember, these gifts are spiritual gifts, okay? Now, this is where it can get really kind of confusing sometimes, Because we have natural gifts that are given to us at birth. And then we have spiritual gifts that are given to us at our second birth. Okay? And I think we sometimes can get confused between somebody's natural gift and we think, oh, they should be this. That they could be really good at that. But it's not always, not always. Sometimes your spiritual gift is complemented with your natural gifts, and sometimes it's not. It can be like music and singing. Someone can come up here and sing a beautifully toned hymn and have no spiritual impact at all. And the next person can come up and sing a beautifully toned hymn and have an incredible spiritual impact, right? So the talent is separate from the spiritual gift, but yet it can also complement each other in that sphere. So it takes a certain level of wisdom. So at the end of the verse here, verse 7, where it says, the manifestation of the Spirit, so this is a work of the Spirit of God, is given to each one. So it's for every believer, for the profit of all. Now other versions put it this way, for the common good. It's not for self. And see, when Dan gets to chapter 14, there's a lot of warnings in there about the sign gifts, and we see a lot of stuff today happening in the church. I'm not making too broad of strokes, where it's about self, right? It's about this thing, it's about a show a lot of times, right? Well, this is not about a show, folks. The spiritual gifts are so that we all profit, right? It is got to be my heart's desire that the gift that God has given me will benefit the body of Christ. And I need your gifts as much as you need mine. We've got to work together on this matter. It is for the profit of all. The word here in the Greek is S-Y-M-P-H-E-R-O, symphero, to bring together. I didn't get a chance to look at it this morning. It just hit me. That's probably the word for symphony. The bringing together, right, of the body of Christ. And you know what is absolutely incredible? To think that the people that are brought into this body of Christ have been given an incredible variety of gifts by the Spirit of God to get his work done. How does he do that? It's a realm of the spiritual, isn't it? How does he do it? Do you ever think how incredible it is that he can put people in this body that can serve at camp, that can run the Sunday school, that can be elders and pastors and teachers and preachers and keep this and the maintenance of this place and look after everything? It's amazing. But it's God's work in God's team. Now, we don't have a lot of time here because we need to touch on some of the definitions before I want to finish up here. Verse 8, we have the word of wisdom. So the word of wisdom in verse 8 is the application of knowledge to specific problems. It's someone who has a lot of wisdom in being able to take God's word and apply it to specific problems. Now here's another little problem and a hard thing to understand with spiritual gifts. Is some of them are actually, we should practice a lot of the characteristics of the spiritual gifts. Okay? Like, even if you don't have the spiritual gift. Like, it says there's an evangelist to be a spiritual gift. But then Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. So even if you don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism, you're still supposed to share your faith, right? But God has touched certain people's lives with this incredible ability to just ooze out witnessing. It just seems to ooze out of them, right? And then there's others, the rest of us just kind of, right? And we give them a track or we try to share and whatever. There's the gifts of faith where without faith it's impossible to please him. That's for every believer, right? But then there is the gift of faith, like a George Mueller who could, I think they said he brought in, 100 years ago, over $6 million and he never asked for a penny. And he fed all those kids in that orphanage for years and never asked for a penny. And God brought him $6 million. Like, huh? Like that's the gift of faith, right? So there's some overlap here in some of these things. Because you know what? We're all supposed to be wise, right? All of us are supposed to be wise. But then there is a special gift, it says here, for those who can really help people in this area. Then there's the gift of knowledge, the ability to study the scriptures and explain it in a systematic way. The gift of faith, like I just mentioned. This is really visionaries, right? But a visionary doesn't have to be, a book has to be written about the person. A visionary can be a mom looking down at their kid and saying, God, what are you going to do with that kid? That can be the gift of faith too. You know, or your ministry. Howard Hendricks, one of the greatest Bible teachers, okay, in North America in the 20th century, was a kid on the street, okay? A kid on the street with no dad. And some 6-foot-tall, lanky guy went out and shot marbles on the street in Philadelphia and hauled 13 kids into his classroom because they wouldn't give him a classroom, a church. They said, you got to go find your own kids. He went out and found 13 kids. He played marbles with those kids, and most of those kids were fatherless. This guy had the gift of faith because you know what? Every one of those kids turned out to be full-time people for God, right? We don't even know the guy's name hardly, right? You know some of the men that he enabled. So this is not about superstars, folks, okay? This is about you and me. Now, this is the gift of healings. Now, this is interesting because this can be on three levels, okay? This could be physical, psychological, or spiritually. Ray Steadman, raystedman.org. Excellent, very biblically balanced guy. He does a nice job of some of the definitions here that I've used him for. So does it exist today? Well, on some levels, I'm sure it does. We don't tend to see the wow part. You know, we always associate things with the wow, right? Because we're kind of engulfed in this, you know, charismatic culture, and they kind of push some of these things. But you know what? God heals people today, doesn't he? He has healed people right in this meeting. Right? And there hasn't been anything wow, cabal about it all, right? And he expects us to call on the elders at times as well to pray for the sick, it says in James 5. So some of these areas would require a lot more time than we have this morning. I like what Chuck Swindoll says, though, on healings. Acts 28, he talks about Paul on Malta and the shipwreck there, right? And there's two words there for healings. He healed the chief, and he said that was instantaneous healing. And then the whole bunch of people came to get healed, and he said the word shifted to long-term therapy. And I often watched God work in my family, and I thought, that's just like God working slowly, restoring someone's health. See, God is in the process of healing. It's just that we're looking for the shabam bang stuff, right? And I remember Swindoll saying, he said, in 60-some years of ministry, he said, I've rarely ever seen a miraculous healing like people would think of that in that one moment of time. But he said, I've seen many people healed over a period of time. So God works in different ways. There's miracles. This is the release of a unique power from God. Like the feeding of the 5,000. Today there's a lot of claims about someone might have the gift of miracles. The reality of that is not so much seen. But you know what? God still does miracles. Do we have the gift? I don't know. But does he still do miracles? You want to believe it. You read about the 7-day war in Israel and God rescuing Israel and accounts of non-believers, okay, seeing how God literally plucked them from, how nations were coming in on these guys and they had hardly, you know, they had no ability to defend themselves, right? So God still does miracles, all right? He's a miracle-working God. And the dilemma we can have when we get into wanting to swish everything away is, and remember, the gifts that even the ones we believe are for today, even if we say, okay, the certain ones we don't think maybe exist today, the ones that are for today are still supernaturally empowered, okay? We can't lose that. Otherwise, it's done in the flesh and we get nowhere. Prophesying. Well, this is one here where it says it's the ability to speak the mind of God. This is not foretelling like the Old Testament prophets. But we got to remember that there is an aspect here where the word of God was not complete, all right, when this was written. So until the canon of Scripture was completely complete, there was probably an element of prophesying that had to do with fresh revelation, all right? But generally speaking, it is simply the ability to see what God is doing in the world, to see it from the Scriptures, to understand the movement of God, and to present it in a clear way, okay? Number 7, the ability to discern between spirits. Discernment, be able to tell truth from error. Some believers, you know, very, very susceptible. Even in really solid Bible-preaching evangelical churches, some are very susceptible to error, and we need people who can distinguish between the spirits. Then we have the great one there that everybody wanted me to spend an hour on this morning, but sorry, tongues. The ability to speak a language that you've never learned. Okay? We're just going to leave it at that. Dan's going to fix us all up on tongues on chapter 14. I'm handing the baton to Dan. And the gift of interpretations, this is interpreting a language that you've never learned. Quite amazing. Like, the thing is about those two gifts, amazing gifts, right? Absolutely, like, wow. And the problem is, the Corinthian church was about the wow, right? And they were about the spectacular, and they were attracted to this. And as you're going to learn in chapter 14, God is not the author of confusion. And even if the tongues gift existed today, there are rules laid down in Scripture for a very careful layout of how those gifts should exist if they existed today at all. So, we come here to verse 11, the wrap-up verse. But the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. We've touched on that, haven't we? He distributes to each one individual. You know the great thing about God is? You are an individual with your own personality, your own natural abilities and talents. And then when it comes into this new life in Christ, guess what? You're still an individual that he gives you that spiritual gift or giftings to use for his glory. Now, here's the word we want to focus on here in closing. This one and self-same Spirit works all these things. Now, the Greek word here is, and hang in, I know it's 1206, is the word energio. Energio, E-N-E-R-G-E-O. Does that sound like the word energy to anybody? It is, okay? So, the word energy, I just love this thought. Paul said in Colossians 1 and verse 29, he said, I strive according to his working. Same word. Philippians 2, 13 and 14, where Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because what? God worketh in you. The exact same word again. Philippians 2, verse 14. And then Ephesians 3, 20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly what? About all we could ask or think what? According to the power that worketh in you. Same word again. And you know, Dan quoted this verse this morning already, Hebrews 4, 12. The word of God is quick and powerful. Guess what? The word powerful there, referring to the word of God, is the exact same Greek word with a minor variation. So, it's like this lamp here, okay? So here's this lamp here. I was going to bring one up, but I thought this one's here. So we got our cord here, right? Nice cord. And it's sitting here. Perfect. It's not plugged in. All right. So, there we are, right here, right? That's us. Man, that is a nice lamp, isn't it? Look at it. It's a beautiful lamp. It's been well looked after. It's a great lamp. That's you, right? You're the lamp. And what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to shine, right? You're supposed to shine. So what do we got? We got a cord here, but it's not plugged in. And the lamp is not shining. It's not doing anything, is it? So you take the cord, right, and you plug it into the outlet. And you turn it on. And what does the light do? It shines. Well, the word energio is like an electric current going through a wire, bringing the light bulb to shine. Well, that's what we should be like, folks, when it comes to using our spiritual gifts. Right there. It's the Spirit of God working in and through you in your life, in order to minister to brothers and sisters around you, in order to reach out to a lost community, in order to reach out to a lost world, whether it's in Zambia or Togo or Burundi or that he wants to work through you. That's John 15, isn't it? Ye are the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Looks good, doesn't it? Looks great. Oh, there's many people we've often said, in the body and said, oh, wouldn't it be great if so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that? They seem so gifted, but they never plug in, right? You've got to plug in. And just one quote here in closing. Dr. John Stott, a great preacher from England, said the following. Our motive must be the glory of God. Our message must be the gospel of God. Our manpower must be the whole church of God. You got that? You, the whole church of God. And our dynamic must be the Spirit of God. Our dynamic must be the Spirit of God. Father, we just thank you this morning for reminding us that you got a special plan and purpose for each and every believer that is here. And oh, Father, we know that there's many circumstances in our lives that short-circuit how we should be serving thee. Sometimes it's lack of confidence. Sometimes it's just sin in our lives. Sometimes it's just we need a word of encouragement. But oh, Lord, we pray that you would use each and every believer here in the sphere in which you'd have them to be used. And Father, if there's someone here this morning who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would just speak into their lives. And Father, may they desire to know the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just give you all the honor and glory this morning. Thank you for each one that is here and on live stream and listening in. And pray that you would use us here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.